This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode of The Huddle is brought to you by the Athletic Club Oakland, my go-to sports bar in the East Bay. This will be a shock to no one. I love watching sports, and I love it even more while at a sports bar. But to be honest, there was a long period of time where I just couldn't find one I really liked. I'd hit a spot that had TVs, but the food sucked ass, or a place that had good food, but they wouldn't show the game I wanted, and the inside felt dark and depressing. It was always some trade-off or sacrifice, and that's done now. The ACO is exactly what I'm looking for. They have a huge space, including an outdoor spot where they shut down an entire street and call to the town guards. They have more than 100 televisions, which can and will show every game you ask for, and they have great food. The ACO has everything you need to comfortably watch your favorite team in any sport at any time with passionate fans. I love it, and I'm pretty damn sure you will too. The Athletic Club Oakland, where sports fans get everything they want every day they want it.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. No Marcus today, but with me per usual, my master of all things sound and video coordinator, Maxime.
Yo, how's it going?
Maxime, I am fired up to announce that rejoining us after way too long, a long time Yahoo Sports basketball authority, where she dominates coverage of the NBA and college hoops, a renowned draft expert who has followed players like James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, and Moses Moody throughout their sporting lives, and a woman who apparently went on a date with a contestant from The Bachelor, Miss Kristen Peek. What's going on, KP?
I totally forgot I told you that story. This is incredible. Yes.
Dude, I've been waiting for some response to that forever. So here, look, this is a text, Maxime, I got from KP a while back, and I've been sitting on it, dude, for like months to finally to ask her about it. Quote, I have another story about a dude that tried to hit on me in Vegas. His opening line, you're probably wondering where you know me from. And then ultimately it sounds like she should have known him from The Bachelor. KP,
it's The Bachelorette. It was the weirdest thing. And that wasn't necessarily his opening line. He first was like, we were sitting there just alone. We just started talking and then he just goes, he's like, oh, so you're probably wondering where you know me from, right?
And I was what do you say to that?
I was like, no. I said, should I know you? I said, I'm sorry, I work in basketball. Like, unless you're a basketball player or a coach or an agent, like, I'm sorry, I don't know you. And he's like, oh, I was on The Bachelorette. I'm sure your mom or sister knows who I am. I was like, okay. And then I was telling Bram, I come across this video on Instagram, and it's this other dude ranting about his college roommate at Harvard and how like he was the next like great mind. He took like the hardest math class that nobody ever takes at Harvard. And then I guess like years down the road, somebody sent him a link. They're like, dude, your roommate is on The Bachelorette. And it was this dude. I can't even remember his name, but I was just like, oh my God, that's the guy I sat next to in Vegas that told confidently was like, so you're probably wondering where you know me from. And I was like,
Can we pause and give you incredible credit for your impression of a douchey man? Because I feel like just the voice you're using is really immediately communicating what kind of a douche that dude was. When you saw the follow-up, right? When you saw another video apparently talking about that guy and found out that he also went to Harvard, give me a sense of your personality. Did you want to call him again? Or were you like, fuck that guy?
If he would have led with, I went to Harvard, I got my master's at so-and-so, like, and never mentioned The Bachelorette, like thinking that like I was some like fanned out fan of his. I was just like, I've never watched The Bachelorette. I watch 87 basketball games a day. Like, we just talked about this. Like, I'm watching really, really bad college basketball today and tomorrow because the season started on Monday and nobody's playing anyone, but that doesn't matter. I still watch it. So it's like, when am I going to have time to 2 hours out of my night to watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
I'm willing to bet almost any amount of money that during that first date, that dude was wearing a Harvard shirt, because anybody who's pompous enough to drop the, you know, you may be wondering where you know me from and who went to Harvard is definitely wearing some kind of fucking Harvard
paraphernalia. He wasn't, but he was in a V-neck. He was in this like black V-neck.
And there you go. It's the same thing. That's basically a fucking Harvard shirt right there. Maxime, have you ever done anything douchey in a dating situation? Have you ever done it, you know, like, oh, I went to this school or you know me from here, anything like that?
No, I ascribe to the like less is more ideology, right? I would rather people discover things about me because then I feel like I have the upper hand.
I'm desperate to impress anybody I'm on a first date with, but I've never done anything douchey like that. I can remember freshman year, I had a TA who I was desperately in love with, just like over the top, would have done anything. And she suggested off the cuff that I take this French literature fucking class. And I immediately went. It had all these prerequisites that I had not taken. You needed to know French. I barely speak fucking English. You know, like it did not go well for me. We did not have any kind of a relationship, but I was still desperate to impress her and took that fucking class. So that's about as close as I get. And it's not close.
That's full on commitment. Taking a college class for a chick. I bet it was at 8 a.m. too. I bet.
Oh, it definitely was. And then again, it was in French, Kristen. And I didn't understand one fucking thing that happened in that class. I did not do that well, but I tell you what, we digress. I have so much basketball stuff I want to cover with you. One piece of housekeeping. You heard me say it up front. So we are on YouTube, KP, and we're trying to make this medium really work for us. So today is kind of a test case for that. Maxime, in addition to giving his takes, in addition to synthesizing our sound, he's also going to be our video coordinator. So as we go on today, what we talk about will occasionally pop up on screen, and feel free to like really be impressed by that, you know, like really giving preps and the whole nine yards, because we want to get people onto our YouTube channel. Let's start with our glass half full. Maxime, why don't you go first, man? Take a look at recent Warriors basketball. Give me something you like or didn't like.
I mean, we finally cracked the losing streak, right? You got to really celebrate that one. I'm going to call that kind of a glass half empty. I think we were all pretty frustrated in general with how close it would be against a pretty lackluster Kings team, the longest active playoff drought of any team in American sports, and we're going to a nail biter with them. It just does not bode well overall for how we're doing as a team this year. It didn't feel good. It also didn't feel good to, I don't know, I'm sort of beating a dead horse a little bit here, but I just got to say, I could not have been less in sync with what was going on with our commentating crew. I just felt like once again, Fitz was not kind of reading the room and making the whole experience for me all the more aggravating and annoying. I couldn't even wallow in my own self-pity with this team. I was just generally very frustrated.
KP, there's been a longtime announcer here in the Bay Area, a guy named Bob Fitzgerald, who's been with the team for as long as I can remember, is really well experienced, done like the Olympics. He did the fucking Sabercats, I think. He did indoor football. He has been everywhere, and his knowledge is unassailable. But he also has a real fuck you relationship with Warrior fans out here. I mean, there's a real hate for him. And I won't speak for other people, but I'll tell you where I get frustrated. He plays a homer. He goes out of his way to, you know, like, oh, he'll say things like good guys 105, bad guys 101. I mean, there's no question who on the broadcast he's rooting for. But while he's playing a homer, he'll also give a bunch of shots or credit to the other team. Like last night, he kept talking about how well Sacramento's playing. Well, fucking pick a side. If you're a homer, fine, be a homer. If you're objective, fine, be objective. But don't pretend to be on my team and then slowly give, you know, unassailable compliments to the other side. It just drives me crazy. But I'll follow up on what Maxime says. Glass half full, Steph Curry, godlike performance. 47 points, 8-8, 7 threes, looked unbelievable. Did all of the kind of things that we have come to expect from Steph Curry. But I'll give you the downside, the glass half full, KP. It's Steph's performance. It took a god-level performance. Again, 47, 8-8. To eke out a 3-point victory against a Sacramento team at home. And so I'm getting worried about this. And in fact, we can even say that that game probably should have gone to overtime. And instead of even asking you for your glass half full, I'm going to push us to the golden questions because it fits right in here. Here's a question someone sent us. As fun as Steph was last night, that game could easily have gone to OT if the refs have decided Clay touched Herter. Do you think that was a foul or a good no call at the end of the game? So here's the play, KP. You know, they're down three. Let's watch that one more time if we can, Maxime. I guess I'll probably give us a slow motion there. What I want is your non-homer take. All right. I watch this and I immediately say, fuck Kevin Herter. He doesn't deserve this call, especially at the end of the game. But you watch it. You tell me if they should have called it.
Hold on. Okay. Is he giving him space to land? He's not. That's a foul. He's not giving him space to land. How many times have we seen Clay and Steph getting that foul, no matter where they are on the court?
You have to
let the player land. And Clay did not. Is that Clay or Steph? Clay did not give him any space to land. He's basically pushing him out of bounds.
Here's what sucks.
He is fading. But yeah.
What sucks is I got all ready to fight you on this, you know, because I knew for sure you're going to call it a foul. But when I was getting ready to fight, all I was looking at were his hands. I wasn't even thinking about giving him space to land at all. All of the back and forth has been, did he touch his arm? Did he get close? The second you started looking at that saying, does he give him place to land? And I looked down, I thought to myself, oh no, because he definitely did not.
Yeah. And who's to say, I mean, it's the Kings, right? Who's to say they're going to make all those free throws anyways?
Yeah.
Can I tell you my half glass full, half glass empty is for you guys. Half glass full, you're not the Lakers. So that's exciting to still be in the West. And another, I'll give you two half glass fulls. It's the beginning of November. Who cares if you guys have gone 1-7 or whatever it is in the last 8 games or whatever. There's not an inkling of worry in my mind about the Warriors.
Thank you for saying that. All right. Here's why I was really excited to talk to you today. And you are perfectly suited for it. All right. And I should have pulled the clip and sent it to Maxime. I did not. But there's footage. I think they called it the Joy Cam. The Warriors have a camera that is always looking at the bench. And they, if you go onto their webpage, you can occasionally find that. And there is footage of Steph when he hit this huge three and he's getting the crowd all fired up that shows JK not move one inch, not one. And it shows Wiseman kind of haphazardly put up his arm, but he didn't look incredibly, like he was having the time of his life. And where we're going in a question here, what I'm going to ask you, the thing I'm worried about is the Warriors' depth. And I believe that they are going to need two of the following three players to give them 20 minutes in the playoffs: Moody, JK, or Wiseman. And so I've got some questions about their development, because that's what I'm worried about. Of course it's early, you know, and of course we're only 11 games in, but I have some concerns. Before we get there, let me show you one more clip, all right, because it also fits in with what we were just talking about. You said that Steph and Clay always get those calls. KP, no, they don't. Steph doesn't get any calls. It drives me crazy, and I'll tell you what, it's not just me who it drives crazy. Do we have show Steph getting that tech last night? No call. No call. Loses his mind. Watch out the ref.
No. But you guys, you know this as Warriors fans. Steph created that contact shot. That shot never existed. What he just did right there. That shot never existed until Steph Curry. And now the refs, this is what, year two, where they've decided that's no longer a call. We're not making that call because so many players are now using that as a foul. So Steph should know that that's no longer a call. That's different. He's initiating contact for the shot. That's not him in his face allowing someone to land. Anytime I've seen Steph shoot a three like that where he's not going into the player and they're not allowed to land, he's going to get the call. But the second he jumps into the player and tries to initiate contact, we already know this is year two. That's a no call.
That's a no call. That was Ty Jerome. That's a no call maybe if it's De'Aaron Fox.
That's a no call
if it's Kevin Herter. If you've changed the league, if you've literally changed
that league with that with that shot and with that call, then you are the poster child of no call for that shot. Cause he's leaning into, he knows exactly what he's doing. Like you cannot convince me otherwise. And like, I'm sorry, Warriors fans, if we are agreeing to disagree on this, but that is, he's never going to get that call.
I'm not agreeing to disagree. I'm agreeing to call you wrong. Here's something we might be able to agree on though. Does it look like Maxime is recording from the surface of the sun? Does he have like an unbelievable amount of light behind him? Or is that just my footage?
It's unbelievable. What is happening? I don't even know where the sun is coming from. I keep on trying to shift my camera angle. It's an absolute disaster.
The sun didn't even come out today in Utah, so I'm jealous. Don't even get me started on living in Utah. Go on.
It's my favorite topic. I may or may not have a bunch of questions about living in Utah down the line, but for now, follow up on Steph, because there is a golden question on this one. All right. Here's the question. Quote, Steph uncharacteristically lost his cool last night and charged the official for attack. Do you like the emotion, or would you have preferred if he avoided the tee? I'll take this one first because it dovetails on what we were just saying. I loved the emotion. So this is not a shock to you, KB. We've talked about Steph's lack of foul calls, and it's a homer take, but I still stand by it. We've talked about it forever. We've talked about it for so long that a while back we spoke with Jim Barnett, then TV guy, now radio guy, about it. And what he said was, you know what I want to see? I want to see Steph lose his mind. I want to see him go and attack an official. I want to see him lose his uncharacteristic cool, because until he
throw does, his mouthpiece at a fan.
He didn't throw his mouthpiece. It wasn't at a fan. It was that fan happened to be sitting where he was throwing his mouthpiece. It wasn't a cause and effect thing. But what we saw last night, I hope, because of you know how demonstrative he was, is Steph was finally taking JB's advice. He got tired of it. He was willing to take the foul, and he wanted to go fucking crazy. And so I'm glad that he did. I'm happy with it. What do you think, Maxime? Did you like seeing the showing of emotion, or do you like it better when he kind of keeps his cool?
No, well, I before I respond, I'm just going to let Steph speak for himself a little bit here.
I see a lot of stupid jokes about me kicking a chair a couple years ago, and it's going on a run after that. So maybe that'll be this year's break.
Right. So, I mean, yes, I love it. Right. I think he's the leader of the team in every sense. I just heard a quote today. I can't remember who was saying it on the radio, but somebody talking about how Steph is getting in Jordan Poole's ear and saying, hey, look, keep on playing like you're the guy. That kind of energy, if Steph is getting at it from all angles, eventually these pieces are going to fit. You know, we are all talking about how we missed the Jordan Poole from the pre-contract days. He's going to come back. And these are the types of things that show that Steph cares. And if Steph cares, everybody else is going to care.
Do you want to tell KP that she's entirely wrong and that Steph doesn't get any calls at all and should have gotten that foul last night? Or do you think she already knows?
She must already know. I mean, look, if this is called the straw that broke the camel's back, right? Sure. Fine. Okay. I get it. That's annoying. I don't like when James Harden does this kind of bullshit. Like it's not valuable for the league. Fine. But I don't think that there's, I swear Steph is not getting enough calls. And this is just the straw that broke the camel's back.
Christian, you look confused. I bet you that's just because you're thinking, where do you recognize me from? It's from this podcast. Don't you worry about that. Here, let me put it this way. I have watched the Warriors not be good for the majority of my life. And for the first 2+ decades, I became aware of unfair things that happened with stars. You know, I watched Kobe get all the calls against us, even when they were not justified. But look, that's what happens. They're TV stars. I watched that with Magic Johnson. I watched that with Michael Jordan. There's a certain benefit that you earn when you become the face of the league. And then our guy became the face of the league, and I don't feel like we're getting that fucking benefit. And so there's a disconnect. I've been watching. I'm not telling you that it's an actual foul, that you look at the rule book and should come away with the foul, but there's a tradition where you call borderline things in the favor of the star.
No. Okay. Here's where you're wrong. Okay. All of those players that you just named, Magic, Michael Jordan, Kobe, even LeBron, I know has gotten calls over his career. Those guys play a different way than Steph does. Steph has virtually changed the way that the point guard and guard shooting guard position has played. None of the other guys did that, right? And so when I'm telling, and the reason why those other guys are getting the majority of the calls and they're getting favoritism calls is because they're bullying their way to the lane. They're doing, you know, different things than what Steph does. And so when Steph is a shooter first, and then when he gets in the lane and he tries to do what we just saw, which is now like You can't do that in the NBA because of what Steph and James Harden, like you said, Maxime, have done in the past. Like, that's different. I don't think that's favoritism at all. I see it more as like those. Steph is a way different player than MJ, Kobe, LeBron, Magic. Way different. The game is now shifted. The game is different. You talk to any NBA team that is looking at draft prospects, they want versatile wings that can shoot the three and be plugged into different positions.
Yep.
That's the Steph effect. And I don't think you can see it as like favoritism or not. Like, he just plays a different way than those other players before him.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm looking for is the Donahue bump. Did you watch that Donahue documentary on Netflix?
No.
Watch it. Watch it. Unbelievable. I think it's called Flagrant Foul. Donahue's the guy who was who admitted to fixing games as an NBA referee. But one of the things he talks about is like, look, stars are treated differently. You know, he specifically calls out Michael Jordan. He says that Phil Jackson called him to the side after a traveling call and said, yeah, the league wants you to call it, not against him. You know, and it's what I'd like to see from Steph, but what you are saying does make sense to me. I mean, I know exactly where you're coming from, and I think you're wrong, and it's breaking my heart to hear you say it, but I can imagine it. Okay, let me get to the portion that I really wanted to ask you about. So to make it fit into the golden question thing, here's the question. Quote, the Warriors have three underdeveloped youngsters in Wiseman, JK, and Moody, and need at least two of them to be capable of playing 20 minutes in a playoff game come April. Please have KP back on and get her opinion on that, if even possible. So, you know, I agree with this question. You know, I'm worried about their ability to get up there. So the way I framed it is, let's go through each of these players, player by player, and I got three questions, the same three questions for all three. Let me start. Let's go Wiseman. And so before I even give you one of the three questions, give me a little background. How long have you been watching Wiseman play? How long have you known him?
Since he was 15, 16 years old.
Okay. And so what, four or five? How long has that been now?
I mean, how many actual games have
I seen? Is he 19, 20? I think he's
20, maybe 21.
Okay. So you've gotten a chance to not only watch him play, you know him a little bit personality-wise. Yes. And let you know, so precursor. This is just opinion. KP has not talked to these players. She's not reading anybody's minds. This is just opinion. That's all it is. But in your opinion, here's the first question. Based on what you know about Wiseman's personality, do you think he is currently happy in Golden State? And so, you know, factor in last year. They went last year. He didn't play, but he saw the mountaintop, you know, won a title. And then where he is now, they tried to force him into the rotation, didn't really work, didn't play at all last night. What do you think? If you had to guess, how happy is this guy?
I mean, he celebrated in the locker room when he won the championship, like he had played every game last season. So I think he was very happy about that, about, you know, the fact that he now has a ring and that's kind of off his shoulders. We've talked about that for all three of those players that, yep. You know, in order to have that so early in your career, it kind of lifts the weight off your shoulders for from here on out. But for Wiseman specifically, I mean, obviously he's frustrated and the team is frustrated with him. And when we look back to the last 3 or 4 years, he's only played maybe 25 games, which is insane because he only played three in college. I don't know how many played his rookie year, and then he didn't play a single game last year. So, I mean, I always say this, that there's a jump from high school to college that's really hard to make. And when you're the number one player coming out of high school, that's a little bit easier, right? Yep. But you only played three games, and you only played three games at Memphis against bullshit competition. I'm sorry. And then there's an even bigger jump that not a lot of people make fluidly. Like, and we saw the 2021 draft class was an anomaly, like with Cade Cunningham, Scottie Barnes, Evan Mobley, like that is unprecedented. We don't see that a lot. But what we saw from James Wiseman and even LaMelo and Ant Edwards, they took a little time to settle in. And he didn't get that cushion. So now he is now a year removed, is trying to, you know, get back to the pace of the NBA with not even really experiencing the pace of college, coming out of high school, you know, with these high projections as the number one player, being able to do whatever he wanted. He was never challenged. And so, right, of course, there's going to be frustrations and there's going to be growing pains. And like, we're seeing that now. And, you know, when you look at, I told you I had a stat, but he's been whistled for 6.8 personal fouls per 36 minutes of floor time. the highest rate of any player in the NBA to log more than 100 minutes. So I know that there's people in the organization that are also tracking these stats, and he looks a step behind and everywhere on defense. You see Steph's frustration in the pick and roll. He's not pulling right. Then he's rolling his eyes, and Steph's having to put up a tough shot. Like, none of it is positive, but there's still time.
Did Wiseman specialize in missing screens and then throwing temper tantrums in college in those three games? Do you know? Did you see that at any point? Or
no, but he never had to do. He never had to worry about the pick and pop. He always just bullied everyone in the lane and grabbed rebounds. Like, the competition in college is significantly less than the NBA, and the spacing. Right. Like, you got to be able to roll the right way, or like, hello, how do you not know? Just set a pick for the best shooter in the NBA. Like, why does Steph have to call for that? That was
the play call. I mean, that was the play call. They called the play call for him to catch a high screen, and he didn't set it. These are none of the three questions I was supposed to ask, but I always get distracted by your knowledge. How were Wiseman's hands growing up? Because if the ball is below his nipples, he can't fucking catch it right now. They're all just going immediately out of bounds. Was that a problem in prep? Was that a problem at Memphis?
I can't say specifically that it was something that ever stood out to me. I'm sure he kind of, you know, jumbled passes and everything like in transition, because as a big, you have great footwork, but like sometimes your hand-eye coordination is something that you have to really work towards and figure out. But you figured it out, Maxine. The light. Sorry.
Sign me up.
But I've seen players with way worse hands than Wiseman at the prep level, where it is a cause for concern. I don't ever remember that being a concern at the prep level, but you're right. Like, he is turning the ball over way too much.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here is maybe the most important question for all three of these people, certainly for Wiseman. So different people develop in different ways. Some people don't need all the space to make mistakes. I would. If I got into the game, and in fact, I don't have to guess. In high school, there was times when I knew that my coach was pissed at me. He put me on the floor waiting for a mistake, and then I'd be out at the first mistake. I played terribly in that setting, terribly. I'm always looking over my shoulder. I didn't develop at all. I couldn't think of anything except for the mistake that was getting ready to come. Off I'd go. If Marcus was here, he'd tell you he was opposite. That's not how he just took advantage. Whatever, you know, you got on the floor, whatever minutes he got, that's what he got. And, you know, his mental game didn't come in. And so that teaches me there's two different types of players as far as development. Some just take the time they're given. Some need a little bit of extra rope, right? So with that as a background, for Wiseman, because right now these guys, there is no extra rope. They're, you know, if they come in, they make a few mistakes, they're gone, mm-hmm. you know, almost immediately. They're not going to get 20 minutes a night. So for Wiseman, what you know of him, can he develop in this environment?
Truthfully, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's as honest as an answer I can give. Mm-hmm. I mean, the work with him and Kuminga, they have been the guy their entire career. And we've talked about this with Kuminga. And, yep. you know, when you kind of cited to their body language when Steph hit big shots, like that, that's a testament to, you know, this youth coming up and just being told, you're the one, you're the one, you're the one, you're the one, all the way up to the NBA, and not being told, yeah, you're great. But listen, it's really hard to make the NBA. It's really, really hard to stay on an NBA team and get minutes. And it's extremely hard to be like the guy. So, but they're never told that. They're told from a very young age, like, you're a five star, you're the number one, you're the number one recruit, you're the best, you're the best, you're a lottery pick, you're a top two draft pick, you're the guy. When in actuality, you know, they're really just being drafted to be a role player, especially on a team that's established like the Warriors.
Which leads me, and Maxime, we may be able to find that clip, that Joy Clam thing I was talking about. If you look up Warriors World Twitter account, I think they tweeted it out. And if we do, I'd love to show it to KP. But back to you, Kristen. Do you think, and so all of this is crystal ball stuff, and I heard you. I mean, how can we know, you know, whether or not he's capable of developing? But fast forward to April, because the Warriors need an answer. You know, I mean, yeah. the starting five look fine. The next five don't. And JP has not been the answer we kind of wanted him to be, which is a whole nother conversation. If you had to bet something significant, knowing the way you know Wiseman, by April in this environment, do you think he'll get enough time? You know, will he be ready to contribute to a playoff team?
It's still ask me in July or in January. Like, it's still too early for me to tell. I mean, like, the best thing for him right now, if he's not going to get any minutes on the Warriors on that rotation, then drop him down to the G League. He just needs to get minutes anywhere he can. Like, it's not going to help him sitting on the bench for these games. Like, he hasn't played in so long. Like, he needs to log those minutes.
Yep.
So I think the best thing for him, if he's not going to be playing in this rotation, get him to a place where he is going to log a lot of minutes, get that confidence back.
Yep.
Let him remember, like, oh, I'm the guy, I can block shots. I know what a pick and pop is, pick and roll. I know how to run this offense. So he's not feeling like he's walking on eggshells all the time.
And just catch the ball a few times. I mean, very literally, just the fundamentals. Have the confidence go back in him. Let me swing to a player who I feel most confident about these questions for, because we'll go to JK third. Moody. All right. Knowing what you, how long have you known Moody? How old was he when you first started covering
16.
Him? 16. Okay. And you've gotten to watch a lot of him. As far as what you know of him, do you think he's happy in this environment?
I do. And I'll tell you why. And we've talked about this before. Moody has never, he's always been second fiddle. He was second fiddle to Cade Cunningham, Scotty Barnes, Dayron Sharp, Dariq Whitehead, who's going to be a lottery pick this year on a loaded Mount Verd team in high school. That one of the best basketball teams I've ever seen in my career. So he knows his place. He also feels like he has something to prove, and he's going to work harder because he was snubbed as a McDonald's All-American. I mean, he had to work his ass off at Arkansas to be a lottery pick. Even at 13, he felt like he should have gone a little bit higher. Do you know what I mean? And so, I think he thrives in these environments because he's always been that second guy. He never made a USA basketball team during his prep school or his prep time in high school. So he's always going to be a worker, always. And I don't doubt that in him at any level of his career.
And that's exactly the same feeling I have had. You know, the next question, I mean, I feel just as optimistic about this second question, but do you feel like this environment Moses Moody can develop in? You know, because he's not guaranteed 20 minutes either, but it seems like he has been able to use what's been given to him. But I'm interested in your take. What do you think?
I do. I think the only, I guess, lapse in his game is on the defensive side. He's a little flat-footed in terms of going laterally and in lateral quickness. So he's a bit of a liability defensively, but you know, if he consistently knocks down his three and makes good decisions on offense just in the little time where he's on the court, then he's going to get minutes.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Do you think he'll be ready by April? Will Moody be able to contribute to a playoff team?
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, all of them.
All of them are just like.
How can you know? Yeah, I mean, let me put it this way. Do they have the talent? Go back to Wiseman. Does Wiseman have the talent, if he can access it, to contribute to a playoff team?
Don't break my heart. Sure. I'm sorry.
Don't break my heart. Damn it, KP. Moody. Does Moody have the talent, contribute to a playoff team, if he can access it?
Yes.
Which brings us to JK, who I think is like the most volatile in this. And I'm all over the board with Kuminga, KP. There are times when I couldn't believe in him more, you know, that if I was going to develop a body that is designed to succeed in this NBA, it would be Jonathan Kuminga's body, you know, and I really can see the upside of what he's capable of. And then there's other times where it looks like he's completely lost and he's one of 1,000 people who are athletic enough, but didn't, you know, whatever it was, whatever thing that was missing that didn't allow them to succeed in it. So I'm not sure where we are. Let's use our three questions. Question one, just won a championship, you know, just got a whole bunch of credit and then lost his position in the rotation and is watching people like Jalen Green and everybody else get their flowers. Do you think Kuminga is happy here?
I think he's happy in Golden State. He's frustrated with his role.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what I said about Wiseman in the sense where it's like, he's also one of the youngest players, you know, for his draft class because he reclassified. So he should technically have been in this past year's draft class, which is crazy. But I think he's just frustrated. I think he's happy with where he landed because there are, I think, winning trumps, you know, playing 40 minutes on a losing.
So does it? I think that's what I'm asking, right? So I'm.
Listen, I talk to these kids all the time that are in Houston, that are in Orlando. Like I talked to Jalen Green extensively about this, and he's just like, you know how hard it is to go out to go out every night, knowing walking into the arena, thinking, God, we might lose this game again, and only winning 20 games out of 82 of them.
Okay.
He said it hurts your soul as a basketball player.
If they had some conversation behind the scenes that, you know, we're a fly on the wall for, because what I was going to say is, look, I'm more than 25. You tell this to me. Of course that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That long-term success means way more than just immediate playing time success. And they are in this, you know, phenomenal environment. But you had this conversation with me when I was like 19, 20, you know, and I'm watching my friends do really well and get all of this credit. I don't know if I'm mature enough. It's a personality trait, you know?
You know what else I think that there might be like a divide on the Warriors team is the age gap.
Yep.
Like I think you look at Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody, and they kind of feel like they're on an island of their own where everybody else has kind of been established, you know, and been in the league a few more years than they have. And, you know, having that camaraderie in the locker room, I mean, I can't imagine that Kuminga and Steph share any similarities outside of basketball.
Yeah.
Like Kuminga doesn't have a family. He's not married. You know, he doesn't have kids. And like, you know, Steph is one of the best to play the game. I mean, there's gotta be kind of like this gap, not only in age, but also where they are in life.
You know what they can probably relate on is neither of them can get a fucking foul call on a basketball game. I wonder if they just talk about that night and day. Do you think, let me make this a more pointed question. Watching Kuminga, not last night, not against Sacto, but in the game that they lost to New Orleans, when everybody sat and they let all of the young guys get as many minutes as they wanted, Kuminga looked like a different player. You know, he looked like what I was describing before. When he knows that he's got a limited leash, he's just waiting for the mistake. You know, when he had time to play through it, looked like he was, you know, he's going to do a lot better. There's not going to be a lot of those environments here.
No.
He's not going to get a lot of those. So can this guy develop in this situation? You know, if you were his agent and all you wanted was his development, is this situation good for him?
No, because he's not going to get that leash, that long leash in numerous games this season.
Yep.
And he's too good to drop down to the G League like I think Wiseman should.
Yep.
You know, so he's just going to get these either of those games where they just decide like, no, we're going to let the younger guys play. Or he's going to get, you know, those minutes where if he is playing well, then you get to stay in the game. But the second you make a mistake, you're out.
Yep.
And so, like, I mean, no agent wants that because the more you're on the court, the more marketable you are, the more people are talking about you, the more jerseys you sell, the more everything. So, like, can they be happy about that situation? Selfishly, no. But where are you going to go?
Maxime, so one of the things we talked about before KP joined us, I'd use the word trade. And well, later in this week, we're going to do a trade podcast. So we just learned a little something about these guys. Yeah. Having heard what Christian just described about these three personalities, it was up to you. If Bobby Myers gave you a call and said, man, Maxime, I need some advice. Dude. I'm not sure if I should keep these guys through April. Should I trade them or develop them right now? What would your answer be?
Look, it's still too early for me to say, let's blow it up. I mean, let's blow up the project of moving forward with trying to bridge the gap between the previous winners and the next generation. But I'm also like, who are you really going to get back for something like that, right? I mean, you need to have equivalent value in the trade. These aren't big contracts. You're not going to necessarily get a difference maker. You know, we got Dante DiVincenzo in the wings coming back from injury. I'm not really seeing anybody out there that's going to get us much better unless we're packaging somebody else with a much larger contract in there as well. And that makes the conversation all the more difficult to agree to.
Yeah, I mean, what makes it kind of tricky, what's interesting is that if the more film we get on these guys, their trade value is not going to remain static. You know, it's possible that it goes up, that they do develop and things happen. But based on our conversation that we just had, you know, probably not. That's not the way I'm looking at it. And there's a better chance that their trade value goes down. And so if we wanted to do anything, you know, time might be of the essence. But I guess we'll find out. You know, I don't know.
I think it's too early to raise any red flags, to be honest. This isn't even games. This is like a January, February conversation.
And why? What is it? What would you want to see before you're like, okay, I've seen it now. I know what to do next.
Well, it's just that it's like, you don't want to jump the gun on a group of 19, 20, 21 year olds that, you know, could actually develop. Like, what did we see the Lakers do? They got rid of D'Lo. They got rid of Brandon Ingram. And their second landing spot, they really flourished. Look what Andrew Wiggins is to you guys. Like, he just signed a huge contract, but he was in Minnesota where everyone thought his career was done.
Yep.
You know, so
And that New Orleans Lakers thing is a phenomenal example, because not only did those second year players go on and do a lot more, but the Lakers had to give up first round picks the same way the Warriors probably would have to if they give up these guys to bring back a star. Right now, that first round pick could be Victor Wembanyama. Even the Lakers are one of the worst teams in the league right now.
Can you imagine Zion?
It's Ingram too. It'd be a front court that had Zion
and CJ
and Wembanyama. So I mean, but the looking at it from New Orleans, it's exciting. For the Warriors, the people who we would be in that trade are the Lakers, you know, and they're stuck with an aging star who's not doing a whole lot and no draft picks to help make it up.
No.
And so, yeah, there's a cavern there too that's concerning, you know. I'm going to go back to something you've already told us, but I need it, right? So I'm two in the middle of this. I knew for sure, Christian, they were going to lose that New Orleans game when they sat everybody, and I watched it like my life depended on it. Like, I was like emotionally invested. Same thing with this Sacktel game. So looking from afar, somebody who does this for a living, you know, it's not the year that we thought it was going to be so far. They're 4-11. Also, it's only been 15 games. What's been your takeaway so far on the Warriors?
I'm not even worried. I'm not, because you're in the West. Like, the Warriors are a team. You know what? You know who they are. They're like Gonzaga. Like, Gonzaga always figures it out. They always find a way to make the tournament in the last 25 plus years. Like, nobody's ever worried about Gonzaga. They just lost to Tennessee in an exhibition game by 20 points. No one cares. No one's worried about it. Like, that's the way I look at the Warriors 15 games in the season. The same way last year when they went 10-1 or whatever, you're like, oh, you think we're going to win the championship? And I'm like, I don't know. But
we did.
I know you did. I know you did. I know. But it's the same way. Like, the West, it's like, it's so wild and unpredictable. And what you need in a championship caliber team is experience and, you know, players that have been there before. And that's all Golden State, all the Warriors are made up of. Yeah. So I am not worried about it at all. Who you guys should really be worried about is the Jazz, because this is a team that was built for tanking and they're going to make the playoffs, and it's blowing my mind. I'm like, do they not know? Like, I can see like Danny Ainge just pulling his hair out, just like, no, we sent, like, they sent their head scout from here over to Europe to watch Amanda Nassar Thompson, who are projected top five picks, for like 3 weeks when they played in Spain in Belgrade, Serbia, and when I was there. And I was like, oh, you've just been following around the Thompson twins? And he's like, yeah, well, you know, we're going to have a high pick. And now they're going to do the most Utah thing ever and like make the playoffs and like get a really horrible draft pick.
I can imagine Ainge like going to a closed door meeting with Lauri Markkanen. And, you know, and he's like, Lauri, I need you to remember something. You're Lauri Markkanen. And Lauri's like, yeah, you know, I am pretty good. No. you're Lauri Markkanen. I know. You suck ass. Like, why are you scoring 23 a game? Like, we need to be losing these games, man. Like, what's going on here?
It's unbelievable. And, like, you look at that, and, like, we were talking about in our, like, NBA writers meeting today, but because they're like, KP, can you write about this? I'm like, oh, my God, I thought I didn't have to write about the Jazz this year. But just in the fact where it's, like, they're playing really good small ball. Like, who knew Jordan Clarkson would be the star in a small ball lineup on the pick and roll? Like, it's unbelievable. Oh, you got the standings up?
Yeah, we're not looking very good here. We are way down. I will tell
you. Look at that Jazz, number one seed right now.
Jazz, number one in the West. Warriors are down at 12.
Wow, the Thunder are – wow.
I'll share something with you guys as we're looking at this that I'll tell you only if you promise not to repeat it. There was a moment last night where Steph went up and he came down a little bit gimpy. He ended up being fine, no problem. But he was limping for a minute before he hit the free throw. And during that period of time, you know, like the 5 to 10 seconds before he was fine, I started thinking, Victor Wembanyama, here we come. It's like time to tank it out. Let's see where it goes. You know, at that point, it looked like a possibility. Did you sell the house? How did give us on that side?
No. Okay. Like clearly I did not sell my house because I'm still here.
I thought you recreated that background incredibly. I was very impressed.
I would have done it. I listed it and then the interest rates skyrocketed and I was getting people in Utah are apparently cheap. And so I was getting really horrible offers and I was like, this is not even worth it. And like my brother lives 10 minutes away. I was home 4 days in October. I'm surprised you guys caught me at home. Like I hit the road again, like on Thursday. But like Gary has free dog care at free dog care at my brother's house. So I'm staying put for now. And well, I was hoping the Jazz would tank and I would either get Victor, Scoot or the Thompson twins in Utah. And then I would never leave because I would go to every game because I love those kids. Like,
you said that as if I don't follow Gary like a celebrity and all of his surfing photos that you have of them. I'm always very impressed by
Wait,
all that.
Did you see what we were for Halloween?
No. What were you for Halloween?
We were so people other than Gary Trent Jr., when I got Gary, they asked me, they're like, it's Gary, like from SpongeBob, right? And I was like, what? No. And they're like, oh, that's SpongeBob's pet snail is Gary. And I was like, okay. And then someone sent me a link and it was this like Gary the snail ran away and SpongeBob sang this song about missing and loving Gary. And I was like, okay, done. I ordered a SpongeBob costume in July. And then I paid $50 on Etsy to get a dog Gary the snail costume.
Did Gary Trent Jr. tell you or ask you?
He asked me. He did. He goes, okay. He's like, KP, did you name your dog after me?
Did you tell him yes? Did you say yes?
I said, I named him after your dad, Gary Trent Sr.
That's okay. Yeah. That's even better played. Guess what I dressed my dog up for Halloween? What's your guess?
Firefighter.
Nothing, dude. Oh. I dressed him up as nothing because dogs should not be dressed in fucking Halloween costumes. What are you talking about?
You know what I did? Yesterday I ordered matching pajamas for us for Christmas. So, and I hate that. I don't hate it because he's so cute, but like, I never knew I'd become that dog person. And I'm clearly that dog person.
Oh no, you're all the way in. If you had just said pajamas, if I had just ordered him pajamas, that'd be one thing. The fact that they are matching pajamas is really impressive. Yeah,
and it has his name on it. I paid extra to get his name on it.
His name or Gary Trent Sr.'s name? I mean, whatever. You know, I mean, it's the same thing. It's a pleasure having you back. I really appreciate it. I know I'm not alone. For people who need far more Christian Peak in their life, where do they go?
You can follow me on Twitter. But listen, I'm not a Warriors beat writer. Like,
yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are a Warriors specialist.
I do watch my fair share of Warriors games, but I mainly cover
We're looking at a picture of Kristen and her dog in full regalia here. Is that your house behind you too?
No, I wish. No. That's in my brother's neighborhood. They just like decked it out with a Halloween costume. No, and in fact, no, that is my house. Yes. I want you to think that is my house.
I was very impressed. I mean, that's an incredible, like a glowing skeleton. Whoever put together that thing put in a lot of effort.
Anyways, if you want more Gary content, I post a lot of him on Instagram. You can follow me at Kristen Peak. Otherwise, you can catch all my stuff on Twitter, Yahoo Sports. You can follow me on Twitter at Kristen Peak.
I'm sorry. I'm
I'm still really distracted by that picture that we just saw. I'm not
no,
sure.
No, I'll send you. Like, I'll send you. I put a video together on Instagram of the SpongeBob theme song. I'll send
Careful.
It to you.
Apparently, Maxime as a video coordinator is really starting to feel his skill set here. That might be coming up at any moment. I'm excited to see it. For us, you want to get us a question, let us know we did a good job, bad job, any job. You can shoot us an email to
huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
Our social media presence is limited. We are only on Twitter. That one's at Warriors Huddle. Perhaps most importantly, support us on YouTube. You want to help us out? Hop up on YouTube. You don't even have to listen. You can turn the volume all the way down. You can turn off the monitor. You can pretend like it's not happening, but search Warriors Huddle, hit play, and it will really help us. And you might see some incredible dog pictures. I mean, who knows what we're capable of throwing on there. It's absolutely worth checking out. With that in mind, go Warriors. Hopefully, see you next week.
Good, good.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.